Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Is our water baptism service, and again, just to let you know, we are going to be finishing up here quite a bit earlier, be done right around 11, dismissing around 11, and then from there, we will be going to the Open Hearth Lodge, just right at the bottom of the hill there, off on the right-hand side, to actually have that actual baptismal service. But this morning, we're going to go ahead and start with the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 28, and these were Jesus' parting words to his disciples as he was getting ready to ascend into heaven. It says, "Then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" And so one of the things we see right up front is that baptism was part of that great commission. It was to go into all the world, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that we need to realize when we're talking about baptism is that this is not really something you're doing for God, per se. This is something you're really doing for you. Of course, baptism we see here is a command that Jesus gave his disciples to go ahead and do. But really, when you get into baptism, what it means, the symbolism of all that, which we're going to do in just a little bit here, you find out that baptism was intended to really be a blessing to you, to help you, and to just really help solidify your faith. This is a little story I love to share because it's somebody that many of us here can connect with. And it's simply a little story about Paul Harvey's baptism. It says, Paul Harvey wrote in Guidepost magazine about his own baptism. He said that even though he had received almost every reward for his broadcasting ability, that he still felt empty inside. One summer, however, he and his wife were vacationing in a place called Cave Creek, Arizona. Sunday morning came and they decided to go to church. So they went to this little church, and there were only 12 other people present. He believed in Jesus, but he had never gone forward in a church service. One night he had prayed in his hotel room and asked Jesus to come into his heart, but he felt that there was still something that was missing. And he said that the preacher got up and announced that his sermon was going to be about baptism. Paul Harvey said, "I yawned, but as he started talking about it, I found myself interested. He talked about the symbolism behind it and how it symbolized the complete surrender of one's life to Jesus Christ, and how there was nothing really magic in the water, but there was this cleansing inside that took place when you yielded yourself to Jesus." He went on to say, "Finally, when he came to the end of his sermon, he said, 'If any of you have not been baptized in this way, I invite you to come forward and join me here at the pulpit.' Paul Harvey said, 'To my surprise, I found myself going forward. The preacher had said there was nothing magic in the water, yet as I descended into the depths and rose again, I knew something life-changing had happened. A cleansing inside out. No longer did there seem to be two uncertain, contradictory Paul Harveys, just one immensely happy one. I felt the fulfilling surge of the Holy Spirit in my life.'" Paul Harvey went on to say, "The change this simple act made in my life is so immense as to be indescribable. Since totally yielding to him in baptism, my heart can't stop singing. Also, perhaps because baptism is such a public act and because one's dignity gets as drenched as one's body, I discovered a new unself-consciousness in talking about my beliefs." That's Paul Harvey. And he went home to be with the Lord, you know, in recent years, just actually not too long ago. But what a great story, you know, of somebody who, you know, believed in Jesus, but really took that step. And it is really an amazing experience when anytime you obey the Lord, it's exciting. But But when you do that, when you obey the Lord in water baptism, there is a very tangible presence of the Holy Spirit with you at that time. Jesus put it this way. He said, when you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father who's in heaven. And baptism is a very powerful way that you confess Jesus before men. You're making a public declaration of your faith before men. And that blessing attached with it, the proclamation of Jesus proclaiming you before the Father in heaven, it's almost as though you can perceive it. There's just such a tremendous affirming of your faith that goes on. And you know, the cool thing about baptism too, and I just found it in my life, is it really is a form of driving that stake in the ground regarding the decision of your salvation. Because, you know, people, you can receive Christ and absolutely do and receive Christ and get born again, but we also know it doesn't stop there. There is an adversary that goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And one of the things he loves to roar in your ear is that you're not really saved. You really didn't quite make that full decision. You didn't quite make that full surrender. You didn't quite make that. And one of the games he just loves to play in a young believer's ear is the fact that they really aren't saved. You really aren't. If you really were, you shouldn't have a problem with that area in your life anymore. You should be completely free. And all, you know, the enemy will come along, the accuser of the brethren will come along and accuse. And one of the great powerful things about baptism is it drives a public stake in the ground. Yes, I have believed. It is something you as a believer can even look back in the natural and say, yes, I've made a decision to follow Jesus. On that day, I was baptized and proclaimed it to the world that I am a follower and a believer in Jesus Christ. It is a tremendous stabilizing tool in your own life where you can begin to realize that, yes, that issue's off the table. I've got a public record to prove that that heart decision was made. I've publicly made it to affirm what happened on the inside of my heart. So it brings that sense of stability, finality. I'm a believer, and I've let the whole world know. Not only that, but it also brings peace and blessing to your loved ones as well, too. You know, that's one thing, too. And when, you know, people go on home to be with the Lord, sometimes, you know where people stood with the Lord, and sometimes you don't really quite know where people may have stood with the Lord. But when somebody has believed and is water baptized, you know, it really is a blessing and a comfort too, to just, you know, family to know that, yes, there is a baptized believer. We know where they stood with the Lord. They were baptized in such and such a day. It brings comfort too, even to your surviving family after you've gone home to be with the Lord. It's that public declaration of faith that helps to settle and establish that commitment that you made to Jesus Christ. And so we're just going to look at a few scriptures this morning as it relates to water baptism. And this kind of gets more into some of the symbolism that water baptism represents. The Apostle Paul would make statements like this. He said, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We see as we look through the scripture these passages that talk about death and life, a dying and a living. And of course we know Jesus died on the cross for our sins and he was raised up again from the dead. And what these scriptures as it relates to baptism do, they tie in our experience when we gave our heart to Jesus to what he experienced for us when he took upon himself our sin. So the Apostle Paul here is saying it's like my old life has died with him. Colossians puts it this way. It says, in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by putting off of the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were now raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all sins, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Again, this is kind of cross-redemption language, and tying it to us as it relates to baptism and the forgiveness of sins. And he is saying here in at verse 12, buried with him in baptism. You know, and that burial in baptism is that burial as he was buried. It's like a death to our sin. That burial, when a person goes down in the waters of baptism, it is symbolic of a burial. I've been crucified with Christ, died with Christ. That old man is in the grave, the old me. It's that symbolic allegory of when a person goes down. But then you're also raised up. Verse 13, made us alive together, having forgiven you all trespasses. In the same way Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, he wasn't raised from the dead with our sin. He was raised from the dead having paid for our sin. And so he was raised from the debt of sin was paid. And when we're raised from the water, we're not raised with our sin. We're raised, cleansed, forgiven, identified with what Christ did for us. And so Ephesians puts it this way, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show us the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Wow, that's a glorious verse there in verse 7. We've got a taste of his grace, but in the ages to come he's going to show us the exceeding riches of his grace. So we're just scratching the surface right now of God's goodness and his grace. But he did what he did there so that we could have eternal life with him forever and ever. But in verse 5 we see, when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. So there is that burial of death, of sin, and that resurrection. So it's like when you're coming out of the water, it's symbolizing your own resurrection from the death of sin and the deadness and the old trespasses to that new life. And of course, 2 Corinthians 5:17 just really summarizes it well. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amplified. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation. A new creation altogether. The old, previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. Wow. And so that, again, is more of the same symbolism that you're going down, that when, first of all, when a person receives Christ, this technically, if you want to just get, you can get technical, if you can put on your glasses and see through the veil of the natural human flesh and into the human spirit. What technically happens is, spiritually, a person is by nature, the scripture says in Ephesians chapter 2, he says, you were by nature children of wrath. Before you receive Christ, you're by nature a child of wrath. See, Jesus isn't just a good idea. Jesus is necessary. Jesus is vital. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. He is a real Savior of a real world. He saved us from a real hell to bring us to a real heaven, because we were in a real sinful condition. All right? And this is where it's very important to realize that when a person receives Christ, the Bible says, and this is what Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. A person's spirit becomes brand new. The old moral and spiritual condition has passed away. That nature of child of wrath has passed away. It's been crucified with Christ. And when you become born again, you become a brand new child of God. In Colossians, Paul says, you've translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. What happened is your spiritual condition changed from child of wrath to child of God. And that's what John says in 1 John 3. Behold the manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of. You should be called a child of God. Not because of anything you've done, but you should be called a child of God because of the manner of love the Father has bestowed upon you. God did something with his love that gave you the moral right. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. And when you humble yourself as a little child to that love, it gives you a moral right to be born again. That old person on the inside becomes this brand new child of God. It's not a feeling. It doesn't change your body. It's something that happens on the inside in your spirit man. And if you're probing for a feeling, forget it. You're declaring your faith in Christ. My trust is in you, Jesus. But the Spirit will bear witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. You'll experience that sense. Yes, I know God. God knows me. I believed that love. And when that happens in your heart, you're born again. You're a child of God. And that's where it's good to get baptized. Because that's where the enemy will come in your ear and say, well, it didn't quite really happen. Look how you feel today. Da, 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 da. No, it has nothing to do with how I feel. It has to do with what I believe. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And when you believe that, it changes that spiritual moral self. It's not a feeling change. It's a spiritual change. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Which is born of pneuma is pneuma. And so Jesus told Nicodemus, that old previous moral self is going to pass away. You're going to get born again, and the fresh and new has come. And so in the waters of baptism again, when you're going down, it represents that old child of wrath nature, buried. When you're raised up from the dead, new creation in Christ Jesus. Even Jesus Christ, the Bible says, he was made in the likeness of sinful flesh when he walked this earth. And it limited him. He was in one place at one time, and he walked to where he wanted to go, and he would get tired, and he experienced the human condition in all points as we do. He had to be made like his brethren so that he could be that sympathetic high priest and identify with us. He could be what Job wanted, that mediator between God and man, that could talk God talk and could talk man talk and bridge the gap. But he had to become human in all points like that. But when he was raised from the dead, he had a glorified body. He could appear, disappear, eat fish, walk through a wall. I mean, he had a glorified, amazing body. So his body, even that went into the ground, was the likeness of sinful flesh body. But when it was raised up a glorified body. Now, Jesus was Jesus, both cases. But you'll see the death and the resurrection. I have an old nature, by nature a child of wrath, you know, in my death, an identification with Christ, but I'm raised up a new creation. The old has passed away, and the fresh and the new has come. And so water baptism is that. So when you're going down in the waters of water baptism, you're thinking, this is the old man passing away. You come back up, and it's the fresh and new has come. That's what's happening. That's what you're symbolizing when you are in those water, in the waters of baptism. And then Romans 6, 3 through 6, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That's that new man. For we have been united together in the likeness of his death. Certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. That old man, that old moral previous spiritual condition was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. So here again, it's just a powerful, visual, if you will, of what happens to a person on the inside when they receive Christ as Savior. And then finally, I just want to address a couple things quick. People, a lot of times, questions people will have about baptism. When is the right age to be baptized? Basically, the right age is the age that you can understand what it means to be a Christian. If you understand what it means to be a follower of Jesus, you can be, you know, it can be young in life. As long as you are aware of what Jesus did on the cross for you and that you believed upon him and that he's forgiven your sins, that's all it really takes. You know, an understanding of what it means. The little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray, but the disciples rebuked them. Jesus said, let the little children come to me. And do not forbid them, for if such is the kingdom of heaven, then he laid his hands on them and departed there. Now, what we do, a lot of times, I was raised Lutheran, so I had an infant baptism as a Lutheran. And let me say this, if you've had an infant baptism, don't discard that as nothing, okay? That infant baptism, you know, in terms of what that is very similar to what we'll do in our church, is what we call a baby dedication. You know, bringing the little children and saying, Lord, here are our children. We thank you for them. Bless them. And I thank God for my infant baptism, not just for what it represented, my parents caring enough to bring me and saying, here is our child, Lord, because when you look in the language of the infant baptism, it is a dedication of those parents to raise that child, which is basically what we're doing too. So thank God for all the different ways that God has been, you know, glorified in your life, and the way, you know, you as a small child have been acknowledged and brought before God. But what we'll do is, you know, we really see as a child when they're not old enough to know or understand or make that decision, we really see that at that point as a dedication of the parents to that, to God, to bring that child to God and say, Lord, we're going to raise him in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We dedicate him to you, bless him, pray over him. And that, you know, that's what it is. But then as you come over into baptism, that really becomes the dedication of yourself to the Lord. All right. So baby dedication is where a parent dedicates their child to the Lord, but baptism is where I dedicate myself. And I'm saying, Jesus, here I am. Okay. Here's a great story on just kind of an example of that. Philip was out ministering, and he came across an Ethiopian eunuch, and they were talking about water baptism. And so Philip opened his mouth, beginning at the scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. There you go. What hinders you from being water baptized? If you're wondering, what do you believe? And if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you may. And a lot of times in that water baptismal service, I'll just say, you know, have you believed on Jesus? You know, you could take, you know, 5 seconds and say, you know what? I believed on Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. It can be just that simple. It's not a big thing. See, receiving Christ isn't a great big long ordeal. It's really just a heart cry. And so when a person goes down in the waters of baptism, it may be a very small statement of their declaration of faith, or they may have a testimony to declare and testify what God has done in their life. It doesn't really matter big or small. I mean, ultimately, when it comes to baptism, it comes to, do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you understand what he has done for you? If you have, you may. And so that's one of the things that's precious about a water baptismal service. It's just, you know, it's just a person's personal declaration of their faith to God. And that's all it really comes down to. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. They did it. He got water baptized. And so we see that was really the only qualifier that it had, you know, that was on it. Just simply what you believe. And let me see here. As far as kind of the other question, I guess I'll address this one other question. Basically, people will also ask, okay, what if I was baptized but didn't understand what I was doing, or I was doing it simply to please somebody else, please a parent, a spouse, or whatever? It's a question only you can really answer. But if you're questioning the motives of a baptism, you know, did I really understand what I was doing? And you pray about that, and the Holy Spirit's bringing it back to you, you know, I can't really say. You really have to allow the Holy Spirit to guide you. If you've already been baptized, but you're questioning the pretense under which you got baptized, all right? If it wasn't right, if it wasn't a clear, full understanding of what Christ did for you, and you know that in your heart, yeah, I'd encourage you to be baptized with a clear, knowing understanding. But I also want to qualify this. Baptism is not a rededication service, all right? You only get baptized once. You'll find yourself rededicating yourself many times. You know, I like to use communion as an opportunity to really just have that fresh consecration. You know, we do it monthly here at Door of Life. You can do it beyond here at Door of Life too. But, you know, baptism is not a rededication service. You're only born again once, and technically you're only getting baptized once to represent that thing that happened. So you don't have to, like, if you feel like you have to, you know, repent and get it right with God, you don't get water baptized all over again. You don't get born again all over again. That's a separate deal. That's, you're already a believer and you're getting your heart right with God. So it's important to understand, if you feel like you need to be water baptized, don't feel like you need to be water baptized because you missed it last week or last night. You know, that's not the reason you get water baptized. You get water baptized because you are going to, with full, clear understanding, no pretense, not jumping through somebody's hoop, but my declaration of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why you get water baptized. It is your personal declaration. Here's a great little testimony. I'm going to close with this. I don't even have a name on it. I just found it in my studies. It just says, I grew up in a Presbyterian church. My father and grandfather were Presbyterians, and I was baptized as an infant. As an adult, I became an elder in the Presbyterian church, and I even taught a class on infant baptism. It's all I've ever known. In the fall of 2010, the Lord began a season of change in my life. I knew in my heart God was calling me and my family to the name of a certain church. I remember telling my wife, I'll never become a member because I won't be baptized again. For several months, I wrestled with God. Why should I go through with this? I've been a Christian for years. I remember praying to God and saying, of all the people, why should I get baptized? And I heard God say, what? Like I did? I knew it was Jesus speaking to my heart. God now had my full attention. Of all the people who didn't need to get baptized, it was Jesus. He lived a perfect life and is the Son of God. He did it as an example for those who believe in him. If you remember, John said, wait, no, Lord, you got to baptize me. And you want me to baptize you? Jesus said, yeah. So Jesus was baptized. In January of 2011, I witnessed baptism by immersion for the first time. It was the baptism of the person standing in line in front of me. My own baptism followed. People ask me all the time, what did it mean to you? It meant several things. I went down in that water a Presbyterian. I came up a follower of Jesus. To this day, I don't even call myself a Christian. I tell people, I follow Jesus Christ. It was a profession to the world that I belonged to Jesus. It was an act of pure obedience. Jesus asked me to do something. At the time, I didn't fully understand why, but I did it because he said so. It was a galvanizing moment in my walk with Christ. That morning, I decided that I would never waste another day in my life. From that moment on, I made a commitment to live every single day to the glory of Jesus Christ. There is something special that happens. I know in my own personal experience, when I made that decision, again, I was born and raised Lutheran, so it was a real break for me to come out to this little non-denominational church and get water baptized. And I remember literally sneaking out of the house to do it. And it was a cold December Wisconsin evening in this little quaint chapel. And just being in those waters, you know, they had the baptismal tank in front of the church. And Pastor Paulser just said, hey, well, Ed, tell me about you and Jesus. And so, you know, it's one of those things. You could be short, long, whatever you want to say, whatever's in your heart. And I just remember just really testifying about how I really got to understand that Jesus was real and that he really loved me. And just simple little testimony. And I remember praying that. And then, you know, when he, you know, basically you just put your hand, plug your nose and grab your wrist. And then he just pulled me down in the waters. And just remember going down in those waters and being like that, there's such a sense of helplessness. Because you are there under the water, you know, and your hands are like bound. It's almost like a death. You know, there's a vulnerability. But then you feel that strength coming up and set where he raised us up. You really identify with this vulnerable condition. But then the resurrection, that raising up, you know, and being raised up to a group of fellow brothers and sisters in Christ supporting that decision. And that was really cool. But I got to say, the most thing that I remember the most about that whole service was this. After I got out of the baptismal tank, and this is a very private moment that I don't know if I've shared, but I went out of the baptismal tank. I went downstairs. They had a basement area, and they had some rooms, and one of the rooms would be a changing room. And I remember just being in that changing room. And, you know, just as I was, you know, just getting back into my normal clothes again, just the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, it was like the joy of the Lord and the Lord just saying to me personally, well done. You know, because I knew I was kind of sneaking out because I didn't know if my parents would understand. I knew that, you know, people were saying this is something you should do and all that stuff. But like he said, you go down a whatever, you come up a follower of Jesus. I obey Jesus. And the closest thing, what I experienced at that moment, if any of you have seen the movie called Miracle, Herb, I don't forget his last name, he was the coach of the U.S. hockey team. And there's a great shot in that movie, you know, do you believe in miracles? Yes. You know, the U.S. hockey team defeats the Russians in 1980. and this pandemonium, the whole country just gets this monkey off our back of communism and faith and confidence rise up, and it's just electric and all that. And Herb, you know, who had just really, by faith, doing things the way he knew they needed to be done, he got out of the whole spotlight, got out of that whole limelight, and he goes into this, like, this little utility room where there's nobody there, and he goes, yes, yes. And then he goes back out to join everything. That's what I experienced when I went in baptism. You know, you should do this, and it's good, and it's like, yeah, you know in your heart you've obeyed God, and there's a witness of the Holy Spirit. And it does have a galvanizing, solidifying effect in your heart. Praise God. I may go down a complicated mess. I'm coming up a follower of Jesus. You know, it's like, I'm with Jesus. And I know, I understand, there's nothing wrong with calling yourself a Christian. But it's like, somebody just, all the politics of religion, of Christianity even. It's like, nah, no, 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 no. He died on the cross. I've believed it like a childlike faith. I've obeyed him in water baptism. And there's a blessing that comes along with that. Well, Heavenly Father, we just pray right now as we close this service that there will just be a wonderful presence of your Spirit, that blessing, Father God, over each one who's baptized this morning. They will experience that grace, that peace, that witness of obedience, and just the joy of the Lord, Father God. That they will just receive everything that you have for them this morning in this decision, in this step of water baptism. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you for this service, Father, and we just pray your blessing over our time, Lord, as we move over to the next phase of this service. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.